Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is James, aka Lips. Be sure to stay tuned following for a brand new Lips on the Air.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
Unstoppable, full original, uncensored radio.
It is Monday, November 28th, Cyber Monday. I hope you all got your secure credit card numbers in line and bought some serious crap that you don't need but would love to give to somebody else, namely me. So, Katrina, what did you buy from me on Cyber Monday?
I actually bought a bunch of Hello Kitty ornaments. I didn't buy any electronics. I only bought Hello Kitty today.
Hello Kitty is always good. Funny thing, though, like, Hello Kitty is all the rage, right? I mean, you would agree, very
yes.
cool shit.
I'm very in love
okay.
with Hello Kitty.
Well, I wanted to buy my friend Missy's daughter a Hello Kitty dress for Christmas. Really cute,
aww.
Little frills, big, yeah. And Jeff told me no.
How dare
okay.
you?
No, not
he just totally pissed
no.
in my Cheerios.
They had nothing to do with the fact that it was Hello Kitty. It had to do with the fact that the damn dress was the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Like, I'm down with the
don't
kitty.
Know that.
Okay, yes, she would, because she would slap you and tell you, I'm not wearing that shit. No,
and
look what girls got added,
after
okay?
Back, and yes, you are.
Well, I'm very angry with the entire Target Corporation because last year they had a million Hello Kitty ornaments, and this year I went to 10 different Dad Blasted Targets. They're out of them on the internet. I can't find Hello Kitty Dad Blasted ornaments anywhere. And I can't have a Hello Kitty tree without Hello Kitty ornaments now, can I?
Very true. That's very true. I think
I
that's
know.
Awesome, though. You're going to have a Hello Kitty tree. As soon as it's done, you'll have to send us a couple photos. So
well, I mean, I'll
we
send you a photo of what I have now.
Out.
Like, I'm kind of a weirdo in that I keep my Christmas tree up year-round.
Oh, my.
But,
okay.
but
okay,
now,
wait.
To make it more a holiday.
No. Is it because
yes?
you're lazy and won't put the tree down, or because you just love it that much?
I just love it that much.
Okay, then we're good.
I mean, I could outsource the putting it away. I have minions. Who's to say I have to put the tree away myself?
Okay. Well, I was just checking, because if it was just laziness, then, you know, I was going to be a little concerned.
Well, I mean, I'll send you a copy of what I have thus far, and you'll see that it only has one little section of Hello Kitty. There are currently 7 Hello Kitties on the tree. I need about 80. So I'm still on the hunt for 71 more Hello Kitty ornaments.
Very
what did you guys get
well,
today, Cyber Monday?
I paid bills, believe it or not. I didn't buy myself anything other than maybe another month of living in my fine, fine apartment. That's what I bought myself.
I see.
Well, it's good to have a roof over your head and a heater and a washer. And, yeah, but I was going to swing by Walmart today after work because, oddly enough, I don't know, maybe just being in Jeff's house over Thanksgiving with freaking Christmas trees poking me up my ass every 2 minutes every time I turned around or what, but I felt the need to come home and do a little decorating, so I did a little. I put up a little tree. Jeff yelled at me and said, no, that's not good enough. So. I have to stop by Walmart, and it's a cute little tree.
Aww.
It's a little tabletop tree. Well, there's a story behind this. It's like antique, because I forget where this thing came from, but it came from, like, the woman who basically, like, raised me after my mom went back to work after I was, like, 2 months old. So this is, like, and I don't know how long she had it before that. So this thing is at least 28 years old. At least. And it's, like, beautiful green ceramic. It's, like, the hand-painted, and it's got little light bulbs that stick out of it, and then you put, like, a electric candle light bulb inside of it, and it all lights up. Well, there's pictures on the Facebook page, so you guys will have to check it out. But
I will.
It's you know, my little thing. So I may have to dig out the 6-foot tree, though. We shall see. We shall see.
I don't
Very
know.
Nice.
I'm just impressed we got Michael to be not so cheap this weekend. I have to tell you, on Black Friday, I got a TV out of him.
Really? Very nice.
Yeah.
And what kind of TV?
He totally took it home with him. And he's like, you're not getting it until Christmas.
I did.
And I'm like, excuse me?
Totally
hello.
Told,
it's called birthday. It's my birthday and housewarming. And then he's like, okay, not only is it your birthday, your Christmas present, your housewarming gift, and Joe's birthday. I'm like, dude, it's 19-inch TV. Stop acting like you just bought me something special. He's so chill.
I like it.
But I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed, and I was kind of shocked. And I'm still insisting that Christmas is going to come, and he's going to be like, well, I ended up using it in my bedroom.
Yeah, well, that very well may happen, but it would actually require me to clean off all the crap from the top of my dresser, which I can tell you is a 90% chance that's not going to happen. But, you see, I looked at it this way, Katrina. Like, Jeff has been bugging me, like, oh, you got to get me a birthday present. And he's like, you never got me a housewarming present. So,
oh, no, because Michael's
Walmart
like, oh, let me. No. Look, you know what? I'm going to touch you. No, in this school, he was a drunken
keep
mess,
digging the
okay?
Hole.
He was a drunk mess. He shows up Thursday night getting ready to go to Black Friday, and I did a little impulse shopping. I bought myself one of them tablet things. I don't even know what it really is. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work this thing because, you know, I don't get that long with the iPods and it's touchscreen. Mm-hmm. So we're going to find out. But he came over.
I ended
up buying this thing at like 10 o'clock at night. I don't know. We had to get up to ask crack of dawn. He's like snapping pictures of me in like the Walmart parking lot at like 5 in the morning. I just assume kill him and look at him.
Of course.
We literally shopped for 12 hours.
Wow.
Oh, God. Long day. You have no
and
idea.
And you live to tell the tale.
Oh, God.
So
I am never going Black Friday shopping with Jeff and his mom again unless I drive my own car so that I can peace out at, like, 9 a.m. Because seriously,
well, what time did you
like,
start and what time did you finish?
4 a.m.
It was exactly
12
hours.
4
to 4.
We left at 4
a.m.
Wow. We pulled up in front of my house at 4 p.m.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, and this is the best part. Like, you know, Jeff tells me, you know, they're all telling me about last year. Like, oh, don't worry about it. Last year, we actually had to go drive to Joyce. Joyce is Jeff's mom. We have to go to drive to Joyce's house because she wasn't up, and we waited like an hour and a half for her, and we didn't get started until 6. I'm thinking, okay. And Jeff's like, don't worry, you know, we'll get up at 4. She probably won't be here. We'll go back to bed. You know, whatever. Yeah. I come downstairs, 4 a.m. This woman comes trucking in. She's like, oh, boy, we got to go. We're at the Home Depot by 5 a.m. I can barely see straight. Then we went Then we went to Dick's. Then we went to Walmart. Then we went to Target. Then we went to the Bon Ton. Then we went to JCPenney. I think there was a Macy's in there and a Disney store. I don't know. The whole thing was like a complete blur.
Oh, and the camera. I was excited. I got these Christmas ornaments. They have, like, scenes from the Disney movies on them. I thought it was cute.
How cute.
I was stoked about that.
But we do need to back up the train just a little bit because I heard a remark in there about me being a hot, drunken mess. I officially had to relinquish my title as most
true.
Overserved at one of Jeff's parties. It was a sad, sad
really? Do tell.
There were at least one, and I was corrected later the next day that there was probably two people ahead of me running for that title.
Oh, yeah.
My friend's husband. Missy's husband's probably going to kill me for telling this story on air, but so be it. Such is life. They signed the waiver. So we're all having a good time. You know, and I've learned over the years to, like, you know, Jeff's parties, get a little lengthy. So I've learned to pace myself.
He's learned this in the last couple months. He's learned it since August, Katrina, because the last time I drank with him, he was a hot mess trying to light his garbage disposal on fire. Just saying.
Yeah, so it's been a recent development.
3 months.
It's been a recent development, but I've learned to, you know, to pace myself, to spread it out a bit, you know, and I've also learned not to mix 18 million different kinds of liquor. So, you know, we're doing our usual. I brought some vodka back, you know, the Absolute Wild Tea, the Absolute. I'm going to say
that.
I was corrected like 20 times on how you say this. I call it the Oprah vodka because she was the one that went on that whole train about the acai berries. It's spelled
acai.
Acai. Is that how you literally say it? Because for a while I was
acai.
Going, you know, the acai berry, the acai, the acai. I'm like, no.
Well, that's
so
what it looks
like.
That's not how you say it.
So then I started saying the E as a soft C. So I'm like, acai. And then my stepmom's sister was like, no, it's acai. And I'm like, acai to you too. I'm like, well, you know. So we're drinking that. And then we start playing beer pong and, you know, Jeff has a hard time going top shelf. Forget about that. He can't even go middle shelf when it comes to beer. So we got like some Keystone Ice.
Look at,
some stuff.
I am sorry.
It was
I am not paying for all you lushes to drink beer. Buy your own goddamn shit.
I don't like beer. Beer's
okay.
Gross.
Look at,
I like bubbles, and that is not cheap.
Son of a bitch. He's lucky enough I let these assholes play beer pong in my kitchen, okay? They always wanted to play at my old house, and I'm like, no. You want to go play something like that, you go outside, okay? Like,
I
there's
agree.
No maid service here. I'm not having it.
Have you ever played champagne pong?
Oh, hell no.
Ooh.
Not my house. Are you crazy?
Okay, well, you
no,
guys need to come to Vegas
fine.
During the summertime, and I will take you to Wet Republic, and we'll get a cabana, and we will play champagne pong.
Oh, we so will. I will be down for that. Although I got to warn you, the last time I drank champagne, I puked all over myself. Just saying.
I'll dunk you off in the pool after.
Thanks.
And then we'll all get 86'd.
Well, we made a mistake.
Oh,
we went drunk around the corner to my neighbor's house. So my old house is literally like a block over, but up a hill.
Uh-huh.
So we ran up there, and every year for the last couple of years, my neighbor and I that lived next door to each other, I would steal her Christmas wreath.
Uh-huh.
So,
I love it.
So I go up there, I steal her Christmas wreath. I come home. Now, Saturday night comes, whatever, I go to bed, it was a really dull night, like, Joe and I passed out in the daycare room, because I was playing a video game, Matt and Stacey were in the living room, the blinds are open, the girls from up the street came, and if you've seen the pictures on Facebook, all of the wooden stuff in the yard, they took it all, and they carried PPs one by one up the hill, it took them an hour and a half to come back and forth to get them all. So I wake up in the morning and I get a text message from the crazy cat lady. Wow, look out in your front yard. And, I mean, the minute I got that, I was like, oh, shit, they got the wooden stuff. I'm like, oh, shit. I look out, it's gone. So I come downstairs.
You got jacked hard.
There's notes everywhere. There's one on the door that says, we're always here, bitch. Then there's another one that says, sleep with one eye open. And these are teenagers. Like, their mom knew, you know, like, I'm like, oh, my God. And then, like, I get in the car and I go to go around the corner. And they did leave, like, there's three of them that are really, really crazy big and they're, like, staked in. They did the notes. And I catch the sign on the third one as I'm going around the corner that says, Team Emmett won, Team Wellington won. So I go back up there. I go get my wooden shit, which is, like, hanging on their deer. Like, it was crazy. I get it back. So I'm going through their house, and I'm pocketing shit, right? I've got my big vest on. I'm putting their pictures in my vest and stuff. And so I get out of their house after, like, 2 hours with a bunch of stuff. I take pictures of it sitting on my table, send it to her, and I'm like, Team Emmett 2. Well, tell me how this bitch comes back to get her shit. Katrina, this asshole sends me a picture after she leaves. Bitch stole my sneaker.
Love it.
I'm just like, now
Christmas for kleptos. You need to set up cameras in your house and call it, make a video, put it on YouTube, Christmas for kleptos.
Well, we all ended up back up there, and they were frisking me every time I went in and out of the house to make sure because, I mean, I wish Evan
pictures. Well, that just sounds like fun.
I mean, it was really, you know, I mean, we were all cracking up. But, like, so that, like, first thing in the morning, I went up to around the corner. Well, I come home, and it's, I don't know. By now it's like 11 o'clock in the morning, in New York,
mm-hmm.
and my cousin, her boyfriend, and my boyfriend are all in the living room watching some spoof of Twilight,
mm-hmm.
drinking vodka. For whenever this girl is a Kristen Stewart. So we started drinking. And like, I come home and I'm like, I'm not drinking, guys. Like, I have things to do on Sunday. Oh,
and
no.
They're like, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, you're not.
So needless to say, this morning I thought I was going to die. And, you know, will not be drinking anytime soon. Everybody was feeling a little rough. I'm like, okay, we're not 20 anymore. Like, we can't do this shit.
A little. At least there wasn't a throw-up incident like
there
was.
Oh, there was.
Friday.
Stacey had Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
Stacey, you know, she's a girl after my own heart. We like to eat. Well, she had her about $45 worth of Taco Bell, and they did her dear wrong.
Oh, no.
I'm not lying.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's wrong, but it's pretty funny.
We were in Taco Bell for a good 45 minutes while they were finishing their meal. I mean, I was like, I feel like we at the Olive Garden or something.
You know, it must have been the weekend for upchucking or something, because just between our friend's husband, Rich, getting sick Friday night, Stacey getting sick.
Oh, and then we were totally busted in on him.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, we had to bust in just to check on him. Well, Katrina, and just for all our listeners as well, there's, I sort of have a little boy crush on our friend's husband, Rich.
Sort of
and,
nothing, my
you know, we got this little thing. It's been, you know, like going on back and forth for, God, I don't know how many years now. And, you know, it always tends to be more obvious between the two of us when we each start drinking, because it's a total riot when, like, he starts playing along back to freak the shit out of everyone. So he's like, we finish up a round of beer pong and we go and do a shot of tequila. And then the next thing I know, Rich is like, Mike, I gotta go. I'm like, all right, buddy, whatever floats your boat. I mean, you gotta. He's like, I'm worried about the kids. I gotta go. I'm like, because
he
just lives up to me. So I'm like, all right, whatever you gotta do. I'm like, I'm not gonna hide. I mean, you know, or chain him up or anything like that. I'm like, you gotta go, whatever. You know, so I'm like, well, it's getting kind of late anyway, so I'm just going to go to bed. So I text Jeff. I'm like, Conrad has left the building. And he calls me, and he's like, where are you? Because there's been years past when they all get nervous when I say I've left the building because they think I've hopped in my car and went driving when I shouldn't have.
Well, no.
I'm like, no.
We'll leave. And if he doesn't have his keys, he will take off walking, and we have to go find him.
Yeah, so I shocked the hell out of all of them this time because they called me like, where are you? I'm like, I'm up there.
Like, honey, if we take him out in Vegas, we're getting one of those zapping dog collars that if he gets more than 10 feet away from us, he's getting zapped.
That's funny.
Because we'll lose
it. I would need one.
They sell them at Brookstone.
So I hope there is. We should get some. Maybe we can get some last-minute deals on Cyber Monday. It's still going on, I think. So. You know, I go to bed, and we go, and then Jeff calls me again. He's like, come on, we're going to go track down Rich. He made it home, and he's puking. The best part about this is, dude was so drunk and sick, he didn't even make it into his own house. He made it as far as his backyard, and his wife had to come busting out the back door, start yelling because she thought it was an intruder.
No!
She was out, you know, my friend... Missy is black. She's got, you know, the boobs the size of, you know, King Kong. And she's got no bra on. And she's got the most, like, I'm like, honey, I didn't even know you wore stuff like this. And her boobs are just, she was something. She
awesome.
All came to the front door. We all busted in and went in the bathroom. And then he started to throw up and I was drunk. I'm like, nah, I gotta go.
These out.
Yeah, I was like, I gotta go. So I went over and tried to rouse the crazy cat lady neighbor, and she wouldn't get up. She was no fun. She wouldn't come out and play. And then the midget
laughed
at me.
That's funny.
It was bad.
I was going somewhere with this whole puking thing. It's actually my sister's sort of half boyfriend, maybe boyfriend. I don't even know. Totally kicked for telling this story, so I'm going to change the names a little bit. My sister's half-boyfriend, Bill, came over on I think it was Saturday for the first time to like meet all of the family. Like they've been hanging, they go to school or whatever. My sister, she's like 16 going on 17. Couldn't help myself. Refocus, refocus. I'm catching Jeff's ADD. So
I'm stuck
over
here watching
my neighbor's
Christmas tree.
And they go out to dinner to Red Robin. I don't know if you guys have Red Robin out in Vegas,
yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
it's like a burger joint.
You just
okay.
said
right.
the name. We're going to get sued.
Allegedly Red Robin. It were really, allegedly.
You
so,
supposedly went to the Green Rooster.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep. They went to the Green Rooster, and they served poor Bill some raw bacon and dude upchucked all over the restaurant.
No.
Yes.
Raw bacon?
Yeah. Raw bacon.
Oh,
raw
gosh.
Bacon.
That's
you heard
wrong.
It here. Stay away from the Green Rooster and the raw bacon. Okay.
Wow.
This poor kid, I wasn't there. I heard the story. I was off making Christmas balls with my mom, which incidentally I did see the Facebook comments. I will get the recipe out there for all of y'all because I know you're dying to know how to make my Christmas balls.
Me too. Definitely want to know how to make them.
So, all right. I will let y'all know. Actually, they're pretty good. But anyway, I digress. So this poor kid, he like turns white as a ghost. He's like passing out on the table, and this poor kid is so shy. Like Bill could barely say two words to begin with, and of course I'm, I guess, trying to be the funny, protective, crazy older gay brother. I really don't know, but the kid comes in the house for the first time, and you know, of course, my dad walks right up and he's got to like shake his hand and pat him on the back and do all that crap, which probably scared him half to death anyway. And then I'm just like, oh, don't worry. We keep the guns locked in the basement.
Oh, no, you did not.
I did. So,
poor kid.
So he was a nervous wreck to begin with, and they're in the Green Rooster. Finally, my sister's like, Mommy, we got to take Bill outside. He's not feeling good. They don't even make it to the front of the restaurant.
Oh.
Thanks for the
poor
sound
dude.
Effect. Have I mentioned that
there? Runs to the bathroom. And you guys, if you've ever had food poisoning, because I can empathize, because I've had food poisoning from not eating
raw
bacon.
Recently.
But I back in the days when I worked at Wendy's, I accidentally undercooked my own hamburger and got myself severely sick. Anyway.
That was not a great idea.
You know, not so much. But you know how you get, like, your stomach is turning and you get, like, wicked cold and you break out in sweat and you just want to tear all your clothes off? Well, that's
mm-hmm.
what this poor kid did in the bathroom at the Green Rooster. Like, he's got his clothes thrown all over the bathroom. He's, like, in the stall, laying on the floor. All over the place. All over the place.
And
yeah.
In public. That's the worst part.
I
that
know, right?
is the worst part. That's just sad.
Unbelievable.
That happened to me recently in San Francisco.
You puked all over a restaurant?
Almost. I was in this really nice hotel at this cool bar. It looked kind of like Trader Vic's, except it had like this ocean in the middle of the restaurant, and it had like a boat that comes out, floats out with a band playing, and it was all like Hawaiian style, and it had lights. It was like a movie set. And it rained
Ooh.
In the middle of the restaurant, and I was like, this is the coolest place ever, but I need to get out of here before I die. So if
Ooh.
I ever go back to San Francisco, I have to redo that experience.
Dude, I don't know what is with you people. Like, I've never
yeah,
not made it
I don't
to
recommend
bathroom.
It. I don't recommend it.
Mm-mm. I won't do it. I can't do it. I can't, oh no. Mm-mm. I'm telling you, it was a little too crazy. Like, and I craved that I was, like, not, I don't know, like, I don't ever want to drink again. I'm done.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
You say that now.
That now. Meanwhile, I'm going to get, like, a drunken text sometime around 2 p.m. Wednesday afternoon.
It can't be 2 p.m., bitch. I have to work. So
yeah, but I was gonna say, wouldn't that be 5 p.m. your time now?
So Katrina, what happened with your Thanksgiving?
Well, we went out to eat because I don't cook. And it was good. I went to my girlfriend's house, and she doesn't cook. She's kind of like me, very high maintenance and kind of useless, but fabulous. Well, culinarily useless, I'll say. Well, I didn't expect her to actually make food, so I was like, oh, I'll just go over, say hi to everybody, drink some champagne, and hopefully not get wasted and drop the F-bomb again in front of my dad, the pastor. That was my goal. So I went, had some champagne. All my girlfriends were there. We hung out, told stories, planned a trip to Miami, and everything was great. But then she had a friend who came over who was a chef who made like 18 different courses. So I wasn't planning on eating because I had to go out to a nice dinner with my dad. Well, of course, I am a little glutton, and if you put it in front of me, I can't say no. So I eat 12 pounds worth of food twice. And then I have to go to a nice sit-down dinner with my dad and then eat again. So I get to the dinner with my dad, and I'm not hungry. And my girlfriend, I used to work at New York in the High Limit, and this restaurant that we went to was Gallagher's. It's the steakhouse in New York. And because I used to work there, I knew everybody. The chef comes out, the casino hosts come out, the manager comes out, the host of the restaurant, the bartenders. Everybody knows us, and they all come say hi, and they're all trying to get us to eat all this stuff. And they're like, I just made this for you. And, you know, you don't want to say no, but good God, I thought I was going to explode.
Whoa. This girl, where'd you put it?
In a box to go. It's still in my refrigerator. But
how long ago was this?
I don't know. Thursday? Maybe I should get rid of it, huh?
Still be good.
I'm useless in the kitchen.
Honey, you come out here. I'll teach you how to cook.
Yeah, but
well,
see, then I'd be too good to be true if I could cook.
Katrina,
we have to leave some little
have
imperfection, though.
That's very true. I may have you one up on the kitchen, though. I think you came on the show after that incident when I left the like 5 pounds of hamburger just chilling on the top, the outside top of my refrigerator for like 5 days. Yeah.
Like, that's how dumb he is. He can't figure out why his apartment stinks. It's just because you got green beef on your refrigerator.
Oh, it was green. Like, it went from, you know, the nice red. It was fresh beef. You know, like, I got it, and I don't know, like, what I was thinking. I must have meant to put it into the freezer, but instead, for some reason, I set it on top of the entire refrigerator and then never put it back in. And, like, days later, I keep coming to my house. I'm like, what is that foul smell? I'm like, good Lord, I take the trash out. I'm not a dirty person. My house should not smell like this. So finally, well, I never figured out. You know, if Friday rolls around and my neighbor Amy comes upstairs and we're drinking, and I walk over to the freezer to get out the ice, and I just happen to glance up, and I'm, like, almost eye level with the beef, and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding.
Where's the beef?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get sick just thinking about it again. It was so green. There's pictures on Facebook. That was foul. Like, oof. Oof.
That's something I would do. Except I'd probably leave it in the car. Have you ever done that?
Ew.
I
don't recommend it.
No,
did you see the
definitely.
Movie The Sweetest Thing?
That is one of my... oh, my God, shut up.
It's one of my favorite movies ever.
That's what we watch every time my friend... my cousin, Mikasa, they come over, they wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. We watch it every night. It's crazy.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Is this a Glickman bar mitzvah? Look, it's Jesus.
Okay, so you've seen it. Well, they leave some foul food in the car, and that's what this reminded me of.
Oh, wow. Foul food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I can't do it.
So,
there you
I
have
to...
it. Stay away from the Green Rooster and Mike's Kitchen.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. So what else, Carly? What happened? You get drunk this weekend?
Yes. I went to the club inside Aria, and some old players of mine, high limit players, like high rollers, were there celebrating a birthday, which means that there's unlimited champagne because they just get it comped off because they gamble. That being said,
oh, no.
I ran amok. I have absolutely no idea what happened. I've blacked out for the last hour. And my girlfriend left because she had to work at 9 in the morning. This is like 4 in the morning. And I woke up in my house with a tie in my pocket. No, with a tie in my purse with a piece of chicken with melted cheese in it.
What? What the fuck?
So I put on Facebook, I can always tell when I had a good night when there's fast food remnants in my purse.
Oh my God.
Wow.
A necktie with a piece of chicken with cheese wrapped around it.
Well, this sounds kind of good, actually. I ain't going to lie.
So I'm going to guess that the piece of chicken came from a Jack-in-the-Box chicken fajita pita with extra cheese.
Oh, I hate you a little bit right now.
Because my trainer told me I'm allowed to eat that if I have to eat fast food. Now, I don't know how, in my drunken stupor, I managed to still get something semi-healthy, but... it makes sense that I did not get it all in my mouth and that it ended up in my purse in chunks. So yeah, I was drinking a little bit this weekend too. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I haven't heard a word from my friends whose party it was, so I don't know. I probably embarrassed myself.
Maybe just a little.
Yeah, and my one girlfriend called me, and she says, I'm coming to pick you up, and I'm like, no, no, no. She's like, I sat on the phone talking to you as you were sitting in front of a slot machine for 45 minutes. She's like, you won $160, and you don't even know how to play.
Oh.
She's like... and I asked you where you were, and you said you didn't know, and then I said, what's around? And you're like, well, there's a sports book. And she's like, I was so frustrated because every hotel has a sports book.
What?
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know what happened, but I know I had a great time.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah. You know. Pretty much. And I'm glad that chicken doesn't really stain, because just so we're all clear, the inside of my purse has not been harmed in this whole process.
Oh.
Well, see, chicken I wouldn't necessarily mind. Like, I mean, you know, if you had a piece of fried chicken just laying around, it smells kind of good, you know? Chicken, I don't mind the chicken. The beef, that's foul. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll make fried chicken air freshener. Somebody patent that for me.
I'm going to start selling it all. I'm going to sell bootleg copies of it outside, like, churches and Popeyes. I'm going to steal your idea, and I'm going to sell the cheapy version outside the restaurant.
Oh,
and be like,
no,
why?
No.
Why not have this all day long? Take it with you. $5.
Yes, but for $10 more, you can have the authentic, unscripted radio branded version. Aha.
Right.
Can't get that generic outside of the public.
And then they can have some acai berry vodka, right?
They can.
You mean acai?
Can, absolutely.
What do you drink it with? Because I think it's a little bit bitter tasting.
Well, here's what you got to mix it with. Like, I've tried a couple different things. The thing I think I like the most is the V8 Splash makes a berry blend.
Mm.
And then there's also a V8 Splash, I think a pomegranate version, because the Absolut Acai Berry has a, it's blueberry with, I think, pomegranate as well. So depending on which V8 Splash you mix it with, it really, that's the flavor that's going to come out of the vodka. And, I mean, I think, I mean, well, we polished off, how big was that bottle, Jeff? 1.75 liters.
I can't even disclose to you how many bottles of vodka we went through this weekend. Because it's
I can. It was like five.
That's awesome.
The wild tea was gone, I think, within 20 minutes.
I love that.
And
that is one of my favorites. I like it with lemonade.
Yeah, that's what
yes.
we were doing, the lemonade and iced tea mixture. I like the Lipton's. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
So I just tried
if you,
to have
if
a
you
want to
go low-cal, you can do, like, Crystal Light. So then you don't have that many calories, and you just can enjoy more vodka without being
this
guilty.
This is coming from the fat kid. I'm not the one that's got food in my fucking purse in the morning, okay? You and my guy. Maybe it's because you're both skinny bitches and, like, you're desperate for food, so you're trying to save it for later. I mean, I had the one skinny bitch friend. She would put Ziploc baggies in her purse when she'd go to the Chinese buffet there. And she could bring home some egg rolls and sesame chicken. I mean,
well,
y'all just, I don't know what.
Is it bad that I, you know, take pieces of fried chicken and wrap them up in napkins and stick them in the map pocket in the side of my car door for later?
It's not bad. The problem is that the napkin will eventually stick to the chicken and then you'll have to pull off the particles.
Nah, you just eat it with the napkin on there. It's like roughage, you know? I mean, the grease soaks through it. You don't even notice it's there. A little paper doesn't kill you.
That's funny.
Okay, you skinny bitches, I don't know. Maybe you got to eat a little more because this is a little concerning to me. Because I don't have stashes of food and shit in my purse and on top of my refrigerator. Like, I just don't understand.
You don't wrap garments of clothing in extra food?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay.
No, and you know it's been a really bad week because I don't know how we got onto it, but I was talking about how over the summer something like crazy happened, and I totally like fell off the wagon and totally went binging at KFC, and the crazy cat lady had come over, and she saw all this food on the coffee table, and she's like, "Dear God," she's like, "Did you fall off a wagon?" She's like, "What's going? Is that all for you?" I'm like, "Oh, some of it's for breakfast." Yeah, right. You know, the minute that bitch left, I locked the door, closed the blinds, and I ate all that shit. I was like, "This fat kid has fallen off the freaking wagon." I was like, "Give me some biscuits." There was one of them potato bowls. There was a three. Oh man, it was bad.
Those potato bowls are good.
See, I haven't tried one because I see them advertised on the television, and they look so gross. No offense to KFC, but they look nasty. Maybe
they
taste better than they look.
So
but
good.
All right.
There's
There's
also something incredibly disgusting. There. Have you guys heard of a Hardy Bowl at Jack in the Box?
Okay, I hate you again because I don't get to get Jack in the Box, but maybe once a year.
Ah, okay. Well, when you come out here and we play champagne pong and go to Wet Republic, you will have Jack in the Box on the drunken binge with me.
Literally, when we travel, I don't care if I'm hungry or not. I stop at every Sonic, every Jack in the Box. God forbid you can find me at an In-N-Out Burger because I will be there for 3 hours.
I love In-N-Out. Oh, gosh. Yes.
It's not cute.
Wait. Do you guys have White Castle out there in Vegas?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't get
See,
the
White
mini
Castle,
burgers.
I got a problem with this, Michael, because, you know, you could go and get them in your freezer section. You get, like, I don't know, three packs, six of them for, like, $4. Well, when you go to the damn White Castle restaurant, you get two of those little burgers, and it's, like, $7. And I'm like, okay, hi, I'm fat. I'm going to need like 10 of these. Like, I can't afford that.
Well, you got to, again, you have to buy things in bulk. Like, they sell the 20-pack of those mini burgers for like $12.95.
Well, and you know,
and
the
then
other
you
place,
just you just need to get a satchel. Stick them in there, save them for later.
That's true.
Wrap them up into some ties. I'm telling you, like, and then that, what's the Steak and Shake? That shit, that place can burn in hell. I hate that son of a bitch in place. The only thing I like was they fries. I don't understand the concept of this restaurant. Like, you have to go and then, like, create a burger or something. I don't know the recipe. But I'm like, I want what's in that picture. They're like, well, I don't know what picture you're speaking of. I said, it's in the picture, and it says whatever. They're like, oh, it doesn't come like that. You need. I'm like, no, no, no. It was bad. Like, don't mess with a fat kid in his food. Like, it's not polite.
I like to go to Steak and Shake and stick it in my purse and then take it into the movies.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, okay.
I think we need to have an intervention.
Well, it's funny, Katrina, you bring that up about sneaking things into the movies, because there actually was, this is like legit news, right from the newswire, a woman who was busted for bringing in an entire bottle of vodka to Jeff's favorite movie, The Muppet Movie. Because she had to take her kid, her four-year-old daughter, and apparently she didn't think she was going to be able to sit through the whole movie.
She was getting lit up
polished,
at the Muppets?
Yeah.
That's
she
awesome.
Polished off. She
that
polished off like
flat.
half a bottle of vodka. And when they pulled her over after she left the mall and got into her car and proceeded to drive.
With her kid?
This, not, with her kid. Not funny at all. She blew a 3.5.
Holy hell.
Yeah, she polished off some serious. They said that she was, like, borderline ready to go in the hospital. Like, that's
hey, she's
how
like legally
far
dead.
Gone she was. Yeah. Yeah, that like, she. And they pulled her over after she, I think it was sideswiped two cars and pulled her truck off onto the median.
Wow.
And she had her and I don't know what's more sad, the fact that she had her four-year-old in the car, or when the police finally pulled her over, the four-year-old actually said, "Mommy, drunk."
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Wow.
3.5.
That's crazy.
I mean, I mean, here's my thing. I mean, I get it. You want to sneak a little booze into the theater, but
not
then,
with
like,
your kid, you freaking lush.
Not with your kid, and who? That would be like
and
me trying to sneak a bottle of that wild tea into the theater. I mean, you know, for one thing, you don't think you're going to polish the whole sucker off. It's dark. No one can see you. You're sitting. There's nothing else to do. You might as well drink. So you bring a whole bottle. I mean, bring the little airport size ones. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of offended that she felt she needed to drink at the Muppet movie. Like, it really bothers me.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that.
Look, I've been waiting. I'm still pissed off, and I hope my mother's listening, because all weekend,
she
all
is.
I wanted to do was go to see the goddamn Muppets and go to Olive Garden and get some fucking breadsticks. That's all I wanted out of my life. And then my mother was like, oh, I'm too tired. I can't do it on Sunday. So then she calls me Sunday after, of course, it's like, you know, in the middle of the day. And my mother's got this thing where she likes to go to movies at like 8 o'clock. Honey, I can't even sit up to watch a show at 8 o'clock. I'm passing out. I'm sitting here trying to watch a movie today with Joe, and I hear, and I wake myself up because I'm snoring. I can't go to the movies, especially 30 minutes away, at 8 o'clock at night. I want to go to the matinee at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and pray to God I stay awake for it. And then I want some damn breadsticks. And I didn't get to go, so I need to go.
No breadsticks for you.
Yeah, and the Olive, I'm telling you, it's a fat kid. I've tried to cut out carbs. Within 3 days, I walk by a piece of bread and I drool.
I've like, heard I just, that if you have a, oh, what's it called, where they stick the tube up there and they suck it out.
Excuse
ooh,
me?
Colonic. I heard if you have a colonic that you stop craving things.
Well, that sounds kind of kinky.
I was just going to say something horrible.
Where do they stick this to?
They stick it in an uncomfortable place.
Oh, honey, I'm very familiar with where you're speaking of.
But, I mean, if it causes you to lose, like, you know, all your cravings, imagine how much weight you lose. That's Hollywood's secret, the colonic.
I don't know about all that.
I haven't tried it. I'll just keep my cravings. I'm cool.
Yeah, I think I'll find other ways of avoiding certain foods other than having a tube stuck up inside of myself. I don't know about that. I'm not quite sure how I feel. I'll bet that leads to an interesting conversation like Jeff and I were having last week about, you know, what happens when the boys go and get the prostate checked because, you know, the doctor has to stick his finger up in there and wiggle around
no.
a little bit to check everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
And what was the verdict?
Is that it? Yeah, like, is that all that's happening?
What happened? Are you going to give me popcorn and say no butter, or do I get the rest of the story?
Well,
is the show over? Do we go home? What's happening?
The rest, I didn't know how far I should go with this, because the actual conversation was, and I don't know if we were drunk at the time or not. We typically
probably.
Have very random, weird
If it was
this
weekend,
like
you were
this.
Definitely drunk.
Like, you know, I mean, we're two homosexuals up in here, and someone starts fingering my ass, well, I'm going to get a little excited, regardless
oh,
of whether I'm getting...
Oh, my God. People just left the chat room in droves.
Regardless of whether I'm getting, you know, my prostate checked or not, that was the conversation we were having, Jeff. If you remember...
he's left the building.
I'm stuck on what the hell. I don't know why your prostate reminded me of fire crotch, which in return reminded me of Katrina texting me. You text me and I can't
yes.
now remember what the hell your new name for it was.
I said oh, yeah, Ginger Junk is the new name for Firecross.
Ginger Junk. I like that.
Because we've said Firecross enough times, so we need to, you know, keep it new, keep it fresh. Ginger Junk.
Keep it fresh.
Make sure you get
Ginger
Junk. Well, honey, I have to tell you, on Black Friday, we saw some gingers. And what's messed up is anytime one of us spotted a redhead, we're all like, look out, it's a ginger. You know, and of course we're not being quiet about this. And my mother's like, what the hell is a ginger?
No.
I'm like, when are you going to catch on, woman? She sat in the chat room that one day, and she's like, what's fire crotch? So all the people in the chat room are, oh, Lord, my poor mother. Oh, and she's sleeping.
Oh, well,
I'm in trouble.
We ruined it enough with poor Joyce. I mean, we were driving around going to the Christmas tree shop.
And
my friend
had taken to the adult store.
Me, I didn't
what?
Say no, no. That was,
yeah.
I did not say anything about the adult store. Just because
oh, no,
we happened to be that was the midget. That was the midget. Just because we happen to be near the adult store, the midget is like, Joyce, I forget what it's called. It's like I don't know, it's some sort of code name or something like Books and Broomsticks. I don't even know. But
oh, it's so
like
Books,
that's funny.
Oh, well, okay, City Books. She's like, let's take Joyce to the City Bookstore. And I'm all for it. I'm like, okay, let's go. She's like, yeah, we can get her a dildo. And then Jeff's like, yeah, Mom, we'll get you a
Whoa.
Big black dildo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
mother lost her shit. You would think somebody, I mean, she just wasn't having no, I am not going to the porn store with my son. No way.
And you should have said, Mom, I know how I got here.
Yeah, right.
Then she proceeded to lock herself in the car and call her heart doctor just to make sure she's still alive.
That
oh,
is
God.
Hilarious.
Well, I keep
the
telling her maybe
woman.
She'd smile a little bit more if she got a toy and gave herself a good pounding, you know what I'm saying? But my
wow.
mother is not that person that can have
oh,
that
my
conversation.
God.
And this is why she hates me as a child, or as a child, you know, she hated me as a child was because this is the shit that would come out of my mouth. Like, Mom, maybe you should just have an affair. Like, you know...
Wow.
It's so amusing.
You are way
Joyce,
too
open-minded. Joyce, you should take all his Christmas gifts back. It's okay. It's okay. I know you saved the receipts.
Oh,
my poor
man.
Mother. I think she just, you know, she's very shy. They're the old school, you know, you don't talk about your sex life to your friends, and we're all way too open. Like, none of us have no secrets, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. You mean Mom doesn't have a radio show that she goes and tells all her business to?
Well, just like, still, if anybody is listening and that you want to be a sperm donator, we're still taking samples. Please email us at the website for the Angry Midget because she is still looking for a baby daddy. And you do not have to pay child support. You can
just make sure you get it in writing first. Get it in writing first.
That's
my mother. Okay, seriously, my mother in the chat room just was like, I smile enough.
Hi, Mom. Thanks for listening.
That's dirty.
Point for Joyce. It's pretty good, Mom. I got to give it to you.
That was great.
Oh, see, she's got some whips. I'll tell you what, though. When her and Michael get together, they're like two little old ladies. Those two are going back and forth in the car. He's sitting behind her. And, dude, they've got me laughing so hard I thought I was going to piss my pants. I mean, they're awful, Katrina. I mean,
I got to share this one little bit before. I know we have to. There's a caller that we have to get the last, like, 2-3 minutes of the show. But we go to Friendly's for breakfast or lunch or whatever. Speaking of which, half of the table ended up ordering fried chicken. We're sitting there, and I took this picture of Jeff. It's on Facebook. It's at, like, 6:30 a.m. in front of Walmart, and it's Jeff and it says, and it says retail center, and I'm like, well, you know, Joyce, I was trying to get him to take it in front of the food center sign. Joyce, she's got to over-dramatize. This is hilarious. She looks at me, she goes, food center, was that because he's a big boy and you think he needs to be in front of the food center? Jeff was fit to be tied. I mean, he's just sitting there. He didn't know what to say.
Well, Michael popped the picture and he's like, oh, it would have been funnier in the food center. And I'm like, I wish I had something to throw at him. I'm like, why? Just because I'm fat, I got to be in front of the food center, asshole.
That's funny. Well, it's funny because you're not even fat.
Oh, no,
that's
honey.
That's funnier.
You saw the wrong pictures. That's why you see a lot of face shots. Nothing below the neck. Okay, mama gained some weight. Back in the day, our mama was no.
Yeah, we're not allowed to use any photos from the neck down. From the neck down. They're all banned.
Oh, my God. And then the midget just brought it up, too. So we're in the store, and we're shopping, and they've got these huge, like, ornaments for trees, and it says, ho. So, and there's one on our Facebook of Michael with this big green thing that hanging around his neck that says ho on it. So my mother's like,
awesome.
Oh, give me that. Take a picture of me with it. Because she is thinking it says ho ho.
Not so much.
So take the picture. And we're all losing our mind laughing. And my mother's like, what? And they're like, it says ho. And then she looks down and she's like, oh, my God. I can't believe you're going to let me take a picture with it. The things we do to my poor mother.
Oh, she's such a good sport.
Do you know how funny it would have been to like, actually get her with a picture of a hoe sign on her and like put on the page for the radio? She'd be like, I run a daycare, don't you dare.
That would have been hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
We
got
to give it to Joyce. Like, she, the woman is such a good sport. And let me tell you, those 12 hours of shopping, if the rest of us weren't, like, dragging our asses and, like, begging to leave, she would have kept going for another 12 hours.
That's
she
awesome.
Sure, yeah.
Easily.
Oh.
Easily.
Freaking nuts.
I love it. I could hang. I could hang with Mom. No problem.
You probably could because by the 12 hours, like, I'm done. But I didn't get too bitchy this year. I was all right. It was Michael that had the sourpuss. He was not happy. By the time we got to the K Marks, he was over it.
That's
funny. Oh, well,
okay.
I walked into that K Mart, and I walked out feeling like I had been gang raped by a bunch of white folk behind a trailer park, and I had caught some serious bed bugs. Okay? I was scratching in places I didn't know existed.
Aww.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad Kmart. It was a little traumatizing. I have to say, I went in the bathroom and was like, I'd rather piss outside.
You should have gone to your friend's husband's house because he had already used his backyard for his puking. So if you had to pee outside, that would have probably been a good place. I'm just saying.
Dude, this place, we have been such a mess this weekend. I'm glad Michael is home because I cannot keep up with that. I cannot drink anymore. I'm old. I'm tired. I'm like, okay. We've got 4 minutes left. I've never been so excited to go to bed in my entire life.
We've got to take care of a little bit of housekeeping. We've got the sheriff in the chat room, Katrina. We just need to let you know that apparently you need to check your Facebook messages again.
Oh, great. I'm the worst at that. I never check my Facebook messages ever. I'll get on that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm alone in a room and somebody farted, and it wasn't me.
You just got
maybe it was the cat.
I don't. What is that? Dear God.
Are you sure it's not the cat?
Yeah, I'm checking myself.
Wasn't me.
I'm like, where'd it come from? Oh, putrid.
That's hilarious.
I'm telling you. Okay, well, we've got like 3 minutes left. Let's give this caller 60 seconds. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Jacqueline.
Hey, what's happening?
I just wanted to call and say I hope you guys all had a good Thanksgiving. And I saw your post about Jenna on Facebook, mm-hmm. and we were talking, and we've been talking for, like, the past week, like, nonstop about my event and everything and how she's been helping me. Her birthday is coming up on December 14th. So I was going to ask if you wanted to work with me on something for her as a surprise.
Of course I do.
Okay, well, I'll message you on Facebook, and we can talk about it. Because I know
Excellent.
That she really looks up to you and, you know, her interview. She did her interview for me and spent a whole over, like, 2 minutes talking about you. So
I have to say it was quite nice for my ego.
Well, she definitely, you know, looks up to you a lot, and we talk a lot. And I'm so excited
she
that we're all going to be coming to, you know, she's moving her schedule around for the event and everything, and we're still working on I'm sending out the money order and stuff this week for the event, so it's definitely going to happen.
Awesome.
Yes. So, I'm
wow.
excited. All right.
Look at
well,
how far
let's
you
go.
Come. That's awesome. Okay. I'll talk to you on Facebook.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Jacqueline, for calling in. Guys, I have to say we've got a crazy week coming up. Going to be completely unscripted, unplanned, and just wild and off the hook. And hopefully by the end of this week we'll have a huge announcement. I don't know that we will, but I'm hoping. And if not, I'll
and
make
no, we're not replacing a co-host. It's because the last time we said we had a huge announcement, one of us left, and we had a new one. But no one is leaving. I promise. No one is leaving.
We're all staying.
At least that I'm aware of. We got them under contract. They get paid a penny per episode.
I
they're
know,
on, and then they're under a 5-year agreement.
I'm telling you. Katrina's like, yeah, okay, bitches. Let me step
I'm going to have to
ship.
Tune in, too, so I can hear the surprise.
Oh, I'll tell you when we get off the air.
Excellent.
Oh,
but the rest of you have to wait.
That's right.
Yeah.
I have to make sure it's locked down. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Oops. Not the one I wanted.
Oh.
There it is. Sorry, I forgot. We're in holiday mode.
In holiday mode.
Yeah.
Jingle bell, jingle bell.
nickname.
I'm the boy you wanna meet. I can tease you on the street. When I'm ready, then we'll go. Take you to the after show. If you ain't packing, then we'll know. I'll tell it on the radio. No, you better come prepared. I'm listening for some care.
Woo, woo, that is right. It is Friday, November 29th, Black Friday. Damn, this year is going by too quick. This is James, a.k.a. Lips, and all of you fabulous Lipsters out there, thank you so much for tuning in to this wonderful edition of Lips on the Air. Tonight alongside me, I have the fabulous, the incredibly generous, the beautiful inside and out, the never late, Miss Jeannie.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I am exhausted. All this waiting in line all night sucks.
Oh, I'll
so
bet.
Not
I'll
doing
bet.
This again. You know, last
I,
year.
You know, I don't. Mm-hmm.
Enough
I've,
money
I've never
and
done
I,
Black Friday.
You know,
I've never done
I,
Black
I
Friday,
really,
and this was the first year that I did.
I haven't really. I mean, I have like 3 or 4 times for specific things, you know, that I've prepared for. Or like 1 year, I had a bunch of friends. The very first year I did it, and it was you go to the store, I'll go to the store, and so we made lists at every store, and everybody went and got everything everybody else wanted. So it really worked out well.
Right.
Well,
right.
Last year I saved almost $450 on a laptop and 2 new phones, and then this year it was a mess. It wasn't the same. It wasn't. I mean, there were people,
no.
But it was like they were giving out tickets instead of actually you waiting in line and then rushing through the store, you know, which sucks anyway.
Oh, right.
They gave us all these tickets.
Right.
So there were some places that I ended up settling because the first 2 places I wanted to go didn't have any more tickets for the items I wanted. So now it's a little different. Instead of rushing through the store and trying, it's mainly get there as soon as you can, get a ticket, and then take your time and shop through the store. So
right.
I'm almost
well,
thinking
you guys think
that
so, because so many of the stores open early. Well, and so many of the stores opened up so early. Like, Walmart, I think, opened up at 6 on Thanksgiving. Like, last night, they opened at, like, 6. Aeropostale opened at 8 o'clock, and I'm not going to lie. I was at Aeropostale last night at 8 o'clock. I bought – well, I had a gift card. They gave me a gift card because I shopped there, like, last week. And for every $5 you spent – or for every $25 you spent, you got $5. Well, I spent, like, $100 at the store last time I was there. So I got $20 on this gift card. I went – I spent that $20 and then some, and I got some really cool stuff. I'm going to put a video on my YouTube channel, I'm going to put it on the Uncensored Radio YouTube channel of my haul video. I'm going to do a haul, and I'm going to show you guys what I got last week and what I got this week, so definitely go check that out. It should be up tomorrow, so you guys can check that out. So, yeah, but this is the first time I've really done Black Friday, and I only did it at Aeropostale. Like, that was the only store that I went to because it was madness there. It was such madness. Like, when I got there, I'm surprised. Like, I'm glad I got there early because I got there. They opened at 8 o'clock. I got there at, like, 7, and it's because I wanted to see if any of the other places had opened up at, like, if Panera was open or – anything like that, because I really love Panera Bread, favorite place ever. They were closed. I was a little upset. But I'm
thanks
glad I got
me,
there when
the
I
way.
Did. No, well, yeah, thanks to you, but I've also, like, I've eaten at Panera Bread before that. I love Panera Bread. It's my favorite store. My favorite place to eat when I have money and I have the time to actually go and sit somewhere. But I'm glad I got there so early because I literally pulled into the parking lot and, like, I drove by Panera, and they were closed. But as I'm driving around, like, the side of, because I'm not, like, this is out at Town Center, and you know what Town Center looks like.
Yeah.
Like, I get there, and, like, I no more turned the corner. Like, Macy's, there were people lined up at Macy's. There were people lined up at New York and Company. Like, all the stores. And I get to Aeropostale, and there was easily, when they opened the store at 8 o'clock, there was easily over 150 people in that store.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
like,
this year,
I was there until almost 10 o'clock. It was ridiculous.
Well, this year, Express was a good one. You know, a lot of them didn't offer a lot of the same things as they did last year. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where I feel like it just, it's the whole holiday itself as far as Christmas and the way it's taken over Thanksgiving this Black Friday, like, it's all about, you know, the way that the media and society and the it's not even, I don't know, it's the commercialized holidays, I guess. But I started off by going to Seattle's Best. They are actually a branch of Starbucks, and I love their coffee. I think it's better, even though it's technically the same coffee bean. the process is different, and I like it better. But they offered free coffee all day. So I was at Seattle's Best about 5 times. But, yeah, Express this year, Radio Shack was one I went to, and he was like, well, we don't have any more tickets for those items. So you can hang out and wait around and hope she doesn't get it. I was just like, really? So it's kind of
like, you know, last year
I did that at Best Buy, and I got the ticket for the laptop, so it allowed me to take time, and I waited in lines forever. I mean, you waited in line outside, you get inside, then you waited in line at that station for the item that you want, and then you wait in line to pay for it, and so it was kind of a mess. So I was kind of glad that they did the coupons last year, but I wish I didn't get the ones I wanted. So,
right.
I don't know.
Well, and
a lot of my friends...
It sucks because it's like I wanted to go to Express. I love Express. But like by the time I got done at Air Apostle, I was so exhausted. Like we had a huge Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, oh God.
Yesterday.
I was
so full and I was tired when I got to Air Apostle. Like when we got done, there was no way I was going to go home, sleep for a couple hours and then get back out there today. Like it was ridiculous. I'm like, if last night was any indication on how bad it was going to be today, I said, no, I'm glad I stayed home today.
Well, I planned mine the way I wanted it. You know, last year it was just me, Lacey and Chad, cause we didn't go home for Thanksgiving. And this year, Zachary's here too. He didn't go to see his, family for, you know, his other half of the family for Thanksgiving. So it was different. I was really sad. I haven't been home in since June. And I really miss Kansas City, you know, and I miss family. And knowing you guys all got together, I was, like, really kind of sad. It sucked. You tried to figure out a way to go, but there was no way to go.
But you know what, though? I think we're all at an age now where, I mean, because when we were growing up, like, holidays were really about like the extended family and being able to see everybody. And I think now that we're all older, I really think that it's starting to kind of turn for us where we're all kind of doing our own things. Like we're not doing like the big Thanksgiving at Grandma's house anymore. We're not doing the big Christmas Eve at Grandma's house anymore. Like we're all kind of branching off and doing our own things. And I think that's good because it's giving all of us an opportunity to start our own tradition. But because I mean,
I would have loved to have seen
that one day I'm going to be, I fully get that. But I think it's weird to think that one day we're going to be the grandparents, that the kids are coming and the grandkids are coming to see us for the holidays. So I think that it's good now that we're old enough that now that we're all older and, you know, we're all kind of starting our own lives and doing our own things that we're able to finally, I guess, kind of try and start those traditions for ourselves now, as opposed to waiting until we're a lot older and trying to start them at that point. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it was hard for me. I was sad, you know, and then with Christmas, I'm not coming back for Christmas either. We've got to go to South Carolina and see my husband's oldest daughter graduate from boot camp. So, you know, it's like, we're not going to even come back to Kansas City until February, and that's just killing me. And the only thing that was getting me through it was my best friend was supposed to come up here, and she's going to bring mom with her, and now they're not coming, and mom's not coming either, and so it just sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's all right. So, I finally went and saw that movie that you told me about.
What movie?
I know you saw it when it first came out, The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I went and saw it last Saturday.
You saw it when
Genie.
It first came out, right?
Oh, my God. Okay.
I tried to avoid people.
Bought my ticket. Like, my goal was I wanted to see it, you know, the night it came out, but I couldn't go. I didn't want to go late Thursday night. I didn't really want to go on Friday because it was going to be in that house. So I bought my ticket online last Saturday. Like last Saturday morning, I got up, I bought my ticket online. I went and saw it in the IMAX. And when I got there, like it wasn't crowded like I thought it was going to be. Like there weren't lines of people waiting to get in the theater, which kind of freaked me out. So I go in, I go get my, you know, like my drink and stuff and my little small popcorn because I don't really eat a whole lot of popcorn. Mm-hmm. And I get into the theater and it's packed, like wall to wall. It is packed. And I went by myself. I didn't have anyone to go with me, which really sucked that I didn't have anyone to go with me. But oh my God, Jeannie, some of the trailers that they showed, like did you see the trailer for like RoboCop and like Las Vegas? And
the trailers that they showed us was that new movie, it's actually, I'm kind of excited about it. I'm a big fan of the guy who played Batman. Is it called American Hustle is the name of the movie, and it's Christian Bale, Cooper, Amy Adams,
and Jennifer
Jeremy
Lawrence
Renner.
Is in that as well.
Yes, she is. And they showed the preview for that, but it was like a 10-minute preview, and they showed a lot of, you know, things that were in detail about that. But we saw a lot of, like, animations, the Coca-Cola. Can you believe Coke is coming out with
the
a
Coca-Cola,
movie?
The polar bears. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of excited for that.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, they got a lot of money for marketing. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, they said animated movies like that are anywhere from $150 million to $300. Let me make sure. I don't really remember. $280 million is what they paid for Avatar. I mean, that's a lot of marketing money in there. Right?
But then look at how much money Avatar made.
Yeah.
Like, Avatar made did, over $1 billion.
You know,
and I've yet to see that
top
movie. I have not seen that movie.
Really? Oh my God! If you Google
Avatar.
If you Google the most expensive movie it ever took to make, okay, the record was held by Titanic for like 15 years, and then Avatar took it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still James Cameron, but they grossed a lot of money. But Hunger Games. The reason I waited until the break for Thanksgiving to go see it was because when it first came out, they played it. We have this movie 14 here. And it's an AMC theater, and what they did was the people that bought it when it was, like, it was totally destroyed. Not really destroyed, but it was so bad that nobody was going to buy it and put money into it. So they bought it, and they put money into it. And for the first 2 years, they were about to have to close because of the location and the price of normal tickets. So then they changed it to where it's only $5 a movie, no matter what movie, no matter what day.
Right.
It's never more than $5. So it's packed all the time. And it's one of those things where it's just like, but it's so cheap, it's worth it. I mean, we can go see several movies in, you know, a month or
a day.
So it's just going to see, like, one or two.
Right. Or go and see, like, you know, three movies in a day if you wanted to, because it's only $15.
Right. But it's pretty cool. But so I had a couple of questions and things to say about this movie. So you're right. It was amazing. It was totally worth going. I was on the edge of my seat literally through most of the entire movie.
I really thought it was a lot better than the first one.
Well, now, I didn't read these books either. And, you know, with, like, Twilight and Harry Potter, I read them all before I saw the movie. But I kind of decided, and Notebook is really what did it for me, the Notebook. I decided I'm not doing that anymore. If I find a book and I've read the book and I love the book, I'm not going to see the movie.
Right.
I'm not. It's not ever the same, and there's always that one thing that mattered, that attention to detail that mattered to me, that's not in the movie. But I don't think it stands alone. That Catching Fire stands alone. I think if somebody randomly was on Netflix 10 years from now and they clicked that movie, if they hadn't seen the first one, if they hadn't read the book,
they wouldn't understand it.
If they knew nothing about it, they would be so confused and lost that they wouldn't enjoy it.
I agree. I agree with that.
The only negative thing I had to say, I was shocked at the end. I was shocked. Are we allowed to give away all that stuff? I mean, it's been long enough. If you haven't seen it, it's your own fault, right?
If you haven't read the book, seriously, if you haven't read the book, then that's your own fault. Because honestly, like, if you read the book, you knew what happened. So, like, I already knew just reading the book, like, you already know what's going to happen in the movie. You just don't know what they're going to put in there, how they're going to change it and everything. And honestly, I really feel like they really followed it a lot more closer to the book than they did the first one. Just because there were so many things that in watching it, like, it's not so much that I was on the edge of my seat. I was just wanting to see how they were going to do, like, how they were going to accomplish it, how they were going to make all of it happen. Because you already knew what was going to happen.
I kind of
had an
idea.
You already knew what was going to happen during it. Mm-hmm.
I had an idea. The first inkling I got was when they're sitting on the beach and the Peeta or Josh says to Katniss that, I don't know what arrangements you made, but I made my own promises and arrangements too. And he opens up his little locket thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, she's going to be the last one. Like, it was all set up so that she would be the last one. And then when they started protecting her and random people, like, sacrificed themselves and things like that, it was kind of, I don't know, I had an idea that something was going on that we didn't know about. But I didn't realize
she
when she shot the arrow. right, when she shot the arrow up and it hit the honeycomb thing, I thought, oh, she'll probably break it. And it didn't break. And so I kind of just like, oh, okay, and moved on. And then, at the, you know, toward the end when she actually did it, I was like, I knew that was going to happen.
And she like, well, the thing was, and in the book, it's a little different than how it actually, I think, played out. I would have to read it again. But in the book, like, you know, the girl stabs her. You know, and you think that you just think she stabs her and is telling her to stay down. No, what actually happens is she's stabbing her to remove her tracker so that they can't track where her location is going to be. And everyone in the arena is like, they're all part of this rebellion and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to end the games once and for all and overthrow the Capitol and all this stuff. I've yet to read the third book, so I don't know how it really ends. I don't necessarily want to read it right now. I don't want to read it right now because, like, the way that it happened with, like, when I read the first book, like, literally a week before the movie came out. And I read the first book, and I went and saw the movie, and then I read the second book, and I was so pissed off that I read the second book too quickly, or I started reading the second book, and I was like, I don't want to read this right now because it's going to be, like, another year before the movie comes out, and all it's going to do is piss me off. So
waited. That's what happened with Twilight for me, the second one. I went and saw the first one, and I was just, it was one of those things, my teenage kid was into it, you know, so we went, and I was just mesmerized for some reason, and I just thought, wow, this is so cool. So then when the kids wanted, you know, the girls wanted to read the books, I was like, well, I should read them first, you know, make sure they're okay, because everybody told me there was all these horrible sex scenes in there and stuff. And But the second one, I read it right away. And then the movie came out, and then I was so disappointed. I went back and read the book again, and I was just like, why did they put that in there? Like, I was so disappointed with the second Twilight. Blue Moon was the worst one. But, sorry, back to this one. What I was going to ask you, okay, so the Suzanne Collins, who wrote the series, wrote the three books. When I first saw the first one, I was just like, how could someone come up with this idea? First of all, everything that we have as far as morals and ethics and things that we think are right and wrong, this is to the extreme wrong. So right off the bat, you come into this hating the Capitol. You come off right off the bat just having a problem with it. I think that, okay, I can't think of her name to save my life, but she plays Effie, Elizabeth Banks. They perfectly casted that part. Perfectly.
They did. They so did.
She is awesome. And then toward the end when she was like, we're all a team, and she's doing the gold things, you know, I thought this has some kind of meaning beyond the games.
Yeah.
Like, this is more. And then when Lenny Kravitz got his butt kicked, I was just like, don't kill Lenny!
Yeah. I don't know Cinna's fate at all because I haven't read the third book yet. Like, I started reading it, and I got into, like, the first two chapters, but I was like, I can't read this right now because if I read it now, it's going to piss me off because then I'm going to have to wait for the movie. And I'm a little irritated that they're breaking up the second, that they're breaking up the last one into two films. Like, I don't really understand why. Okay, I do understand why they're doing it because it's a lot of information. There was a lot of stuff that was left out in the first book, in the first movie, and in the second one. There was a lot of stuff that was left out that I think should have been in there. So I can understand why they're breaking it up. But why are you, if you're filming them
they're
back to back?
The reason they're breaking it up is to make more money on it. That's why they're breaking
it up. I understand that.
Completely.
I understand
Catching
that. But if you're filming
part.
But if you're filming the movies back to back, because they're currently filming Mockingjay right now, and they're filming part one and part two back to back. If you're filming them back to back and you're going to edit them at the same time and all that stuff, why put a year between the first one coming out and the second one? Why not do first one comes
they
out in November?
You have
but
to
no,
realize,
why not do like, the first
to...
one in November and then 6 months later release the second one?
Because they don't make enough money. What they can do is they can have it in the box office. Then it goes to a third-rate box office where it's a few dollars to see it. Then you've got it on renting, not to mention all of the merchandise that they're going to produce that they're going to sell in between this. So it's just like with Twilight. They drag it out to make more money on it. And it's a proven, you know, it works. It's proven that it works. But, you know, with the whole Hunger Games, the whole thing, the concept to me, I found kind of, like, hard to get into it at first. And then right before we went to see this one, the new one, I went and watched the old one on Netflix. And so then when I watched the new one, I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so let me get this right. The president changes the rules at the end of the Game Master and the president.
No.
Changed the rules at the end
because
of the game.
He didn't change – well, here's the thing, though. It wasn't President Snow who changed the rules in the first one. It was the gamekeeper who made the change.
Is that why
the gamekeeper
died,
is the one that made the changes?
She outsmarted him.
Yes. The gamekeeper was, you know, he killed himself with the Nylock berries, but he was placed there to do so. Like, it was, they wanted him to kill himself because basically what he did was he, if you watch the movie, he was trying to root for, like, he wanted to root for the underdog, and Katniss was kind of the underdog in the first Hunger Games. So he wanted to kind of root for her and make it so that she, to kind of give the illusion that she would kind of stand a chance. So when he put out there, when they changed the rule that if two tributes from the same district are the last one standing, they would both be crowned victors. He did that to make her want to fight more because she really wasn't fighting for.
But that was
she wasn't fighting for anything because she really wasn't killing. That wasn't the rule from the beginning.
No. Yeah, we just saw in Catching Fire the teams that had won together.
No, they weren't teams that won together. They were individual
victors.
Brother
and sister?
Like,
he specifically said that the brother and sister were one of the top fighting or whatever, and that they both came out champions.
They did, but they were in two different. Like, the brother was in one, and then the next year the sister was in.
It didn't say that in the movie. It actually led me.
Well, because
in
certain districts, though, in the Hunger Games, this entire episode of What's on the Air is going to be about the Hunger Games, just so y'all know. In the Hunger Games, though, they have careers. Like, in District 1 and District 2, they have kids that specifically train to become,
mm-hmm.
to go into the games and to come out victors. They specifically train for it. The brother and sister duo were previous careers that were in the games that, you know, trained for years, and then when somebody was picked, they volunteered themselves. They volunteered as tribute.
Right, but they said that they won. They said
and
that
they did.
Together
they were
won.
A brother. They were brother and sister who won individual years. Like, they went back to back.
He didn't say that. He said, and even when I go back and pull the point, it says that it quotes that together they're strength and power or something like that. It was saying, I got to find it, I'm looking for it. But it said that together they won. So my whole thing was, if that's the case and they actually won the same one, then that was the rule, the standing rule. Well, then when they changed it at the last minute and then she showed them up, it's almost like he just singled her out to be mad at her. And then when you see the situations with his granddaughter where she's wearing
mm-hmm.
her hair like hats and she, you know, and the girl, you know, someday I hope to offer myself as tribute, you know, and all that, and just like you did, mm-hmm. and it was like, you know, it was, I don't know, like, I kind of saw the signs, you know, the bird on the subway tunnel, you know, those kinds of things. Like, you kind of get the idea that it's bigger than what we know anyway. And then when it explodes at the end, it's just like, it's over? It's over? Really? It's not
well,
fair.
Well, like, the whole thing is, like, they didn't tell her. They didn't tell her what the plan was. They didn't tell her what they were doing because she was being watched. She's being watched by President Snow. He's watching her every move, her every action. She is kind of, you know, inadvertently, not knowing it, sparked a rebellion by what she did in the first book, by what she did for Rue. The girl, the District 11 tribute that was killed, by how she kind of honored her and honored, you know, District 11.
Because, like you said, that
the arena.
She gave them hope. You know, her whole thing was she didn't want to die, but she was still going to. She was still being human to the point where, you know, you could have pity on someone or, you know, something like that. And so whenever she did the Rue thing, not only Rue, it was a couple others where she didn't kill them, but she could have. And, like, in the beginning of this one, the first thing I thought was, why didn't you kill them? Like, she's standing there with a bow and arrow and they're all coming at her. Just start shooting them. Like, you know, but it's good she didn't, because now at the end we know why they were all, you know, important. But,
but she didn't know that they were all aligned to try and save her. Like, they didn't know. She had no idea throughout the Quarter Quill that they were all fighting to keep her alive through the end, like through the end of it, because they were all a part of this rebellion about how they weren't, and none of them were happy that they were going back into the arena anyways because of what happened because it was the Quarter Quill. Like, none of them were happy about it. What I liked about it, though, was that you really see how the government is kind of controlling, is kind of controlling her in a way, because you see the character, like the act that she's putting on, the way that she's portraying herself. She's trying to portray herself as being happy, as trying to be happy and everything like that. And then you really see her when she gets into the arena after Senna gets beaten the fuck up, that she is ready to take this for herself.
Yeah. But, you know, in the second one, you notice she's, I think she's starting to actually have real feelings for him.
For Peter?
Before it was, before it was fake, and then, you know, it was all of a sudden very real, and that last kiss was just, like, so genuine that I was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, and then when she's being raised up, and then I realized that I was thinking, okay, they're going to kill her. They're obviously going to kill her right off the bat, you know. She's dead.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just kind of interesting, you know. And then the lady sitting next to me in the theater tried to tell me, I Googled it and I couldn't find it, but she tried to say that the author was in the second movie as one of the tributes.
No.
So is that the older lady with the gray hair?
No. The older lady with the gray hair is actually, she's like a really famous actress. Like, she did television shows and stuff like that, and she was kind of like the breakout character from what I read. I don't remember her name. I cannot think of her name, but she's a really famous actress. It wasn't Suzanne Collins. But what I like about, what I loved about it is that you kind of get, and Suzanne Collins has said this before, she kind of wrote The Hunger Games to be more based on like the Roman Empire back in that time frame, where, you know, you had gladiators that fought to the death the way that they are in the games. You had the Roman Empire, you know, had control over everything, had control over everyone there. And so I like how she wrote it. But then at the same time, these movies really make you think about what could potentially happen in our own government, you know, what could happen 20, 30, 50 years from now.
What you have to realize, too, is, you know, the perspective in the book is written, you told me it was written in Katniss's perspective. Well, now we're seeing a different view of it. So we're really not even seeing what she originally was wanting us to see. But, you know, she was famous for things like she wrote Nickelodeon shows. She actually won an Emmy and was nominated 3 more times for Clarissa Explains It All. She wrote that show. She did The Mystery Files with Shelby Woo. She also wrote 6 books. It was a New York Times bestseller for middle grade school students, and it was The Underland Chronicles. She's well established in that. But The Hunger Games was, she said she originally decided, or originally she had planned that it was going to be 3 books. And, you know, that was it. She wasn't going to make it go any more than that, but it was supposed to be geared toward, like, high school students. And I'm thinking the content for high school students, okay, so then if you start looking into her different things, you can find, like, where she's quoted different things about, like, what her meaning for this means. So I'm thinking that maybe she may have some kind of underlying meaning for our government, you know, that kind of thing in what we're seeing. You see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if maybe there is some kind of, like, hidden message in there. But I think that, you know, the third one is going to be, well, I know it's not just going to be one movie, but the set of movies is going to be incredibly, either very confusing or really well. But like I said, the second one doesn't really stand on its own with Harry Potter's. And the reason I'm comparing Harry Potter was because it's kind of along the same mythical lines. I mean, there's obviously some sort of magic involved in there. So with Harry Potter, each one of those movies stand alone. Each one of those movies, when you go see it by itself, or you see it and you haven't seen the others, it can make some sense. So I'm curious to see what the director, they have the same director for the next ones. So I'm curious to see how he can do that. But then, you know, you got like the Twilight series where there was different directors on each one of the movies. So it's very different. I mean, if you watch the first one and the last one, it's almost, other than the same people, it's kind of like, wow.
You can tell
a lot more money.
You can definitely tell the differences between the directors. You can tell the difference between the budget. Like, the budget for this one, the budget for this for Catching Fire and the budget for the next one, the next two, is so much bigger than the budget for the first one that it's going to, oh my gosh.
This thing I found said that they're shooting, the next two are, okay, the Catching Fire, I think there's 2 for Catching Fire, right?
No, there's two for Mockingjay.
Okay, then it's Mockingjay. I knew there was two for, there were supposed to be four altogether. So, but I read this thing that said that it was $130 million on this one, and that the next one is going to be $450 million between the two. Now, that's the exact same thing that they did with Pirates of the Caribbean. They shot the last two together with a combined budget of $450 million, and the ones previous to that were $200 million. So, they're going to definitely be able to blow it out of the water, but. I don't know. I think I don't think. I mean, we know it's not going to be more games. We know now it's going to be actual war. You know, and when he was sitting there and he said that, I totally thought this is going to like happen. You know, and now that I know when the movie was over on the drive home, I'm thinking about all the little things that stuck out that I didn't really notice. When they're dancing, the new game guy and her are dancing, the glass and all that, and he explains to her how to find the flaw. Why would you give that away? You know, especially if you're involved with the president and you've got this plan to end her. You know, why would you give it away?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You know, and I love how
it's about the force field. How they could make out the force field, and they kind of laughed at her because she couldn't see it at first. But now it's been.
Right.
But as soon as she realized it and noticed it, she started thinking about ways to destroy it. Like I loved how. When she's standing there by the tree talking to Finnick, and they have the coil and all that other stuff, and Finnick's yelling at her to get out of there, to move. You don't want to be anywhere near the tree when the lightning strikes. When you see her wrap the coil around the arrow and shoot the arrow towards the sky, I was like, yes.
Right.
Oh my God, yes. And I liked how when it hit and it destroyed it, you saw how the sky just kind of faded away and it all turned black, and then how it started falling apart. And it really helped you, it gave you more of an idea that this is a world completely created by the Capitol. This arena is completely created by a computer program.
The leaves aren't real, the trees aren't real, none of it's real.
Right. None of it's real. Absolutely none of it. And so that was a cool thing to see. But
the thing that
really
I hate about
you think, you know, like 100, 200 years from now, like what could the world eventually do something like that, you know, 100, 200 years from now, or even 50 years from now?
Okay, with the whole, it's a created world, okay? And even though the rules are this way, when it's not going the way that the Capitol wants it to go, they just throw something else in the way. They throw another obstacle and they make you jump through another hoop. That's kind of what our world is at right now. I mean, I know we don't do government talk, but, you know, you brought that up a minute ago. That's totally one of those, like, it really makes you think, like, what would you do if you know, society was more like what you see in the 12th district? Or, you know, what if that's the kind of world that we end up in, and you're either on one side or the other side? Do you conform and deal with things you don't believe in? Because I feel like, in some ways, I do that. I pay taxes, and I don't believe I should be taxed because the Constitution says I shouldn't be. But I pay them anyway, because if I don't, I go to jail. You know, so it's like, how far can they take that? And is that what she's trying to tell us? Is that what she's trying to point out?
Well, it makes you wonder, but it kind of gives you that illusion of, like, what if, and, you know, I don't think it would happen in our lifetime, but, like, what if somewhere down the road, like, our kids or our ancestors or our, the next generations of us eventually would have to do something like that, where they would be placed in an arena and, you know, tributes would be selected and they have to fight to the death. I mean, like, could you imagine actually living in a world like that where that's the norm, where that's the normality?
In a way, that's what you do. When people go to work in corporate society, they're basically fighting a battle. They don't, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of the, because when she made a quote about, like, looking at the real meaning of the game, you know, and then it says, don't forget who the real enemy is through this whole entire movie. So then you wonder, you know, what is she trying to say? Right.
Well, the real enemy is the Capitol. The real enemy is the Capitol. It's the government. It's President Snow. And the thing about President Snow is that he's trying to – I haven't read the books yet, but I have a feeling that he has, like, some sort of illness or something because of when he's at the party, at the last party, the blood in the glass, like the blood that he spits out into the glass. I think he's trying to stop a rebellion before he dies, because I think he knows that once he dies, all hell is going to break loose. So he's trying to stop it before that, but it's going
to
happen. Right, but it's going
to
happen before. Mm-hmm. And he, I think now, because when he's in the control room and he's watching it and he sees Katniss destroy the thing and everything, all the power goes out and everything like that, and the whole thing stops, you really see that panic on his face. Like, when he's like, he's like, what the fuck? You know, like, what are we going to do now? What do we do now? What the hell just happened? I really wish they would have told her, you know, like, actually broke it to her in a different way. But the thing about the whole book is that she discovers District 13 is real and that District 13 is still alive. That's discovered in the book. Like, that's actually discovered while she's in the arena. Like, she's figuring that out while she's in the arena and she's talking to people, and people are telling her, because some people have brought reference to the propaganda film that they show before the reaping every year, that they show before the reaping, that shows District 13 being
destroyed.
You know,
it's just
being destroyed and the fire and the smoke and everything like that. And some people had noticed that in the propaganda film, that it's the same clip repeated over and over again, because you see the same bird sitting on, like, this perch, and it flies at the same time in the film every time, every year that they see it. So it's the same thing. So, and when I was reading the book,
the whole idea with it was to put fear into them, because if they didn't have fear, then they would stand up against him.
Right. But the whole thing with, like, the whole reason District 13 was supposedly destroyed was because District 13 was the one that originally started the first rebellion that created that the Hunger Games were created upon. They launched a rebellion against the Capitol, and when they ended up making a treaty with the Capitol that if they went underground, they would go underground, they would not have to deal with the Capitol wouldn't have to deal with them, and they would be their own, they'd operate as their own country, I guess, in a way. And the Capitol agreed. So basically what the Capitol did was to give the illusion that they actually destroyed District 13 was when District 13 went underground, they then went and bombed the surface of District 13 to give the illusion that they actually destroyed them, that to put that fear in the 12 other districts And that's, I believe that's told in Catching Fire. I might be wrong, because I did read the first couple chapters of Mockingjay. So that might be right in the beginning of Mockingjay that happens. But from what, if
I
remember right, it was during Catching Fire. And that's the one thing that they don't show.
Well, I was assuming it was more like a living in the woods, creating your own society. The peacekeepers don't go to 13 anymore because they destroyed it. So pretty much on their own. And so, you know how they sneak out to go hunting and things like that? Like, I figured the reason that they're not supposed to go hunting is because they're supposed to get their name in the thing to get more food, things like that, right? So if that's the case, they're not supposed to provide for themselves. So they sneak out and go hunting. Well, basically, 13's kind of providing for themselves. They're doing what they got to do is what I assumed based on just, you know, what logic made sense to me.
Yeah. Well, the thing about District 13 is, like, Katniss is in the book. Katniss is questioning the actual existence of District 13 throughout the whole book, throughout the whole concept. And what they don't tell you, I don't think they say it in the movie at all, that they're on their way, that they're traveling to District 13 at the very end of it, that they're traveling to District 13 and that they're on the way there and that that's where they're going to live for, you know, until the rebellion begins. They don't really ever say that, I think, in Catching Fire in the movie. But it's pointed out in the book that they're traveling to District 13.
Well, in the end, he tells her, you know, she's like, how long have I been asleep? And he said, a few days. We're almost there. But he doesn't say where. But they're still flying. Now, that's what I don't get. How do they, the woman and, you know, all those people are for District 13.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're for District 13, aren't their resources still from the Capitol?
Not necessarily. Because District 13 was creating, like, the reason that they signed a peace treaty with District 13 and all that was because District 13 created nuclear weapons. that was part of what their district was to build. They were making weapons, nuclear weapons, different things like that. So when District 13, and then when they signed their treaty with the Capitol, that District 13 would operate on its own and they would go underground so that nobody would know that they existed. They've been underground preparing to start an even bigger rebellion to overthrow the Capitol and to finally get the control of Pan Am back to the people that deserved it, back to the people that really that should have had the control the whole time. So they've been underground this whole time, you know, creating, crafting, building, and trying to get the resources together to start this huge rebellion. And
right.
the new gamekeeper,
well, he had retired, and he came out of retiring because of her, is what he said. Remember?
Yeah, to do the game.
Right, but he doesn't say that. He says, I came out because of you.
Right.
And then you assume it's because she's, you know, in the game. But, okay, what
right.
else? Each division has their own staffing of people who select and bring the new tributes to the arena. We had, you know, Elizabeth, Lenny Kravitz, the other guy. All I can think is Cheers now. I've lost his name.
Lenny Kravitz's character is Senna. His character is Senna. Senna actually is a designer. He's not one to pull the. He's not one to pick to help pick the tributes or anything like that. He's just.
But
the,
he is
the
designer for
from
District
the Capitol.
12. He's the designer for District
yeah.
12. Okay, so then
yeah.
each person that's assigned for District 12 belongs to District 12, or they still belong to the Capitol?
They still belong to the Capitol.
Okay.
They're just selected
sure
by the Capitol to.
Well.
Yeah,
the
they're just selected by the
who,
Capitol to create.
Okay, but the other guy who had won before, who was actually chosen, mm-hmm. and the other, you know, he still lives in District 12, right?
Hammett.
Yeah.
Yeah. The victors, when they win the Hunger Games, they go back to their district and they live in their district, but they're placed in the Victor Village. So they have riches, they have food, like they have money to last them the rest of their lives. They get food to last them the rest of their lives. They basically live a life of, because they survived the Hunger Games and they came out as the victor, they're kind of made a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
In the extent of that, they no longer have to want or need for anything because the capital now provides for them. But they still remain in their districts. Like they go back to living in District 12, in District 11, you know, in their home district. To be
right,
that
but
symbol,
he had 25
to be
years
that
ago
symbol to their, yeah, to be that symbol
well,
to their to the capital, or to be that symbol to the district that they, you know, that they are, that they have hope that, you know, if this person can survive it, so can they.
Right. Well, something that they don't explain about him in the movie, they, you know, his family was killed. You know. He was a victor, and within 2 weeks of his victory, his mother, his brother, his girlfriend, the president, Snow, had killed all of them and punished him for using the force field to his advantage in the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he
so
is, yes, and that's actually discussed, and that's actually discussed in the second book, but they don't put it in the film. It's not in the
right.
movie anywhere in the film. But, yeah, he used the force field to his advantage to become the victor. He threw his weapon down this ravine, and when it hit the force field, the force field threw it back up, and that's how he won, because it hit the person that was trying to kill him, and it destroyed
right.
them. And because he used the force field, he didn't want to kill anybody. I don't think he did kill anybody when he was in there. He didn't want to physically do it. So because he used the force field and he went against the Capitol by not killing them on his own.
Yeah,
because
he didn't kill anybody else.
They got
everybody else.
They got back at him by killing his family.
Right. And so supposedly
which is what caused him to start drinking and to become the alcoholic that he is. Yeah.
For like 24 years he was this alcoholic. Well, then they say that supposedly a friend of mine who did read the book told me that he's going to detox in the next movie. The next
mm-hmm.
book he does this like detox in District 13. So I'm curious to see, you know, about that. But with him and with the girl, Elizabeth's character, I can't ever say it.
Effie.
I don't know why. Yeah, Effie.
Effie Trinket.
With her, with all of them, you know, you can totally see at some point toward the end where she's crying and, you know, you can see where she has compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gave me the idea that maybe, you know, there was something that was going to happen there. But I don't know. I just was kind of, it's just one of those things where I wasn't sure, you know, how that's all going to play out in the end. But with,
right.
You know, the young daughter, Prim, you know, she is safe is what they said, but they said that the others, well, the other two, the girl and Peeta, were picked up by the Capitol.
Yeah.
And being held.
Johanna,
so they're basically going to be
Peeta.
Held.
Johanna and Peeta. And Peeta were captured by the Capitol after the arena was destroyed. They were captured by the Capitol and taken hostage by the Capitol. From what I understand,
she's a nurse.
From what I understand, in Mockingjay, the Capitol brainwashes Peeta.
Right, and she, no, Prim.
Yeah, the
Prim gets brainwashed.
No, Prim doesn't get brainwashed. From what I understand, I don't want to spoil it for anyone because I kind of, like, didn't really jump ahead in the book. I kind of read it on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I know what happens to her.
Yeah, ends up getting killed, and Gail has something to do with it.
It's in a bomb. In an explosion, she gets killed. But they don't all, I mean, like, her sister doesn't have anything to do with it. But, the thing about that was I was confused because it said that, you know, she serves as a casual nurse at some point and then she's killed in a bombing. Is that what sends Katniss into this deep depression that President Snow later, you know, takes advantage of?
I don't know
of?
Because
I haven't read
I haven't read the last book yet. So ask me in a couple months when I've read the last book.
I'm really impressed with all this. And what I don't get either, okay, the third quail, why wasn't there a second quail? If there was, then
the quarter quail,
there wasn't.
The quarter quail, yeah, no, the quarter quail happens every 25 years.
But it didn't happen when Woody Harrelson was there, or Haymitch. It didn't happen when he was there, and he did the 50th one. He won the 50th Hunger Games.
The quarter quail, well, and I think when I read the book, I think Katniss talks about the previous quarter quill. I think the previous quarter quill is the one that Haymitch won. And for the previous quarter quill, they had, instead of having just 24 tributes, they had 48 tributes.
Hmm.
And he was the sole victor at the end of it. Because the quarter quill changes, whenever they do the quarter quill, it changes. So, like, the first quarter quill was after 25 years, second quarter quill was 50, and the 75th one, Hunger Games is a quarter quill. And they basically determine what the quarter quill is before it happens. So they determined President Snow, because he wants to try and get rid of Katniss Everdeen as quickly as possible, instead of the only way that he could think to do it without just, you know, blatantly murdering her on firing range or whatever, is to make the 75th Hunger Games, the third quarter quill, to make it a previous victors. All previous victors from the districts will be put into a bowl and picked at random that way. Because Katniss is the only female victor for District 12, it's automatic that she's going to be put in there.
We'll see. Okay.
And they don't think that President Snow doesn't think that she's going to survive the second quarter quill. Or the
Got
quarter
it.
Quill. They don't think he's going to survive. That she's going to survive being in there a second time. So, because she's going up against careers and people who were victors for actually cold blood killing people, not...
Right. So, basically, Joanna. When she cuts the tracker out of her arm and then rubs the blood on her neck and tells her to lay there and pretend dead, it's because the other guy wasn't on their team, right? And that's when he ends up dying, and then she dies, or she disappears, okay? So, and then after that, now the Capitol has her. That's what we know anyway, based on the movies. But as far as the books go, you know, we know that at some point, see, and that's what I don't get. They mention her fear of water, big fear of water, and they talk about her fear of water. Okay, well, then ends up at some point in the next book, from what, you know, I was told, which I'm not really spoiling because these books have been out for a long time.
Right.
You know, Katniss goes into this mental illness, which she's mentioned, she's asked about twice in this last movie. She asked about the person who had the mental illness. So, you know, Katniss is doesn't want to be, like, hospitalized for this mental illness or anything, right? But then she ends up going in, and supposedly her and the other girl end up being, like, roommates or something. Is that right? Have you heard anything like that?
I don't,
and then she also told me that they, like, vote on the 13th or another Hunger Games.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because,
I don't know.
Just because the third book follows the same continuity as the second one.
But there is another Hunger Games. There's one more, and it's all voted on. Even Katniss votes on it. Katniss refused. Well, she tells she. Okay, basically what she sent me was that Katniss refuses to hold the district to be held in the hospital in District 13. They end up convincing her to go, and she goes and stays with Joanna in the same room, and then Joanna becomes a part of the committee that votes whether or not one more last Hunger Games will be held at the Capitol or with the Capitol's children, and she votes yes. So is this basically when the president's granddaughter has to be tribute?
I don't know. I haven't read that.
Supposed to, like, give them a taste of their own medicine kind of thing? I mean, she gave me just enough to wonder, but she didn't give me enough to know. But still, his granddaughter will be between 13 and 18.
12 and 18. And this is why you need to read the book. You need to read the books. I do not usually say that about things, because, like, I am not a fan of Twilight. I did not read those books before the movies came out. I only saw the movies because they were here. Like, I didn't go to the theater to see them. I waited for someone to buy them, and then I was like, you know, fine, whatever, I'll watch them.
I'm afraid to read them because I don't want to be mad about it. And that's how it ends up with all books that I like.
I don't think I'll necessarily end up mad about it because you're reading the books. You read the books, and you're reading the books strictly in Katniss's point of view. That's the only point of view that you're getting. You're not getting the physical point of view that you're getting when you watch it. You're not seeing, you're not getting all the added features. Like, you're not getting what's happening in the Capitol. You're not getting what's happening, in the gamekeepers in the control room. You're not getting all that in the books like you're getting in the movie. So when you're reading the books, you're reading the books strictly in first person. You're reading them based solely on what Katniss is feeling, what she's going through, what she's seeing, what she's thinking, all that stuff. So it's strictly Katniss. So when you're watching the movies, you're not just getting Katniss's perspective. You're getting, everyone else's perspective as to what's going on. There are so many things in the first movie that you don't hear about in the first book at all.
Really?
The uprising beginning in District 11 after she puts the flowers on Rue, and kisses her three fingers and puts them up in the air. In the movie, what happens in the movie
is you see
it's just a sign of respect. You kiss the three fingers and you put them up to the sky as a sign of respect for your fellow people in your district. But what happens is, what you see in the movie is that when Rue is getting lifted up out of the arena, you see an uprising beginning in District 11. Like, you see the start of a rebellion in District 11 because they're pissed off that Rue died, and Katniss is kind of giving them hope because she's still alive, that she's kind of giving them that hope that they could start this rebellion and they could overthrow. So you're seeing in the movie, you're seeing the uprising begin. You see Seneca Crane, who was the previous gamekeeper. You see him basically wind up eating berries. Like, you know, he gets locked in a room and is basically has one option. You see that in the movie. You don't hear that in the book. you actually don't find out about that until the beginning of the second book, Catching Fire, when she's talking to President Snow.
Okay.
So the movie, you get a lot more, you get more detail in the movie than you do in the book, because in the book you're getting solely one person's point of view on everything that's happening. So I would suggest reading the books, because I think the books are great. You get a lot more information.
I'm going to have to, because I asked this girl and she sent me all this stuff, and it, when I asked you, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to have to at least read the next one so I can understand.
Well, I think to fully understand it, though, you have to read the first, second, and third. That's just my opinion. I think to fully grasp what's going to happen in Mockingjay, you have to read the first two to understand it. Because, like I said, the movies, they do incorporate a lot of information. They do incorporate things that you don't get in the book, but they also leave a lot of stuff out of the book.
Mm.
So, and we only have a couple minutes left. This hour has gone by so quickly.
It has.
We literally have, like, 3 minutes left. So, you know, I got my spiel. Tomorrow is Saturday, which means it's time for the Jake Pentland Show at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to tune in. I have no idea what's going on because Jen didn't text me yet and let me know. So, yeah, boo on you, Jen. Jen Madlu, I don't know what your real last name is. But, yeah, Jake Pentland Show tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Be sure you're listening to Uncensored Radio every Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and indulge in your guilty pleasures. No Rules, Just Mics every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and Lips on the Air every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Jeannie, I hope you did you at least have a good Thanksgiving yesterday? Like, did you guys have fun?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I'm tired now just because I've been up since, you know, like 4 a.m., but it's cool. I'm going to sleep like a baby in like an hour. I'm going to bed as soon as we get off here. Like, my Thanksgiving, my Black Friday is over. But, yes, nice. It was decent. I'm looking forward to next year. This whole year has been bad for me. And it sucks because 13 is my lucky number, and it just went bad for me this year.
Well, maybe that just means that 13 is not so much of a lucky number for you anymore.
Maybe next year is going to be so bad that this year had to be bad enough that I wouldn't know how bad next year is, right? I'm very optimistic.
I don't know. Very optimistic you are. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to my sister's this weekend. I'm going to be house-sitting, dog-sitting. I don't have kids, and I just get to sit at my sister's house and watch TV and play the Nintendo Wii and eat their food. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I start my new job on Monday. So I'm very excited. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We still have some time to kill, so we're not going to say goodbye just yet. But I just want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. Go ahead.
Do you think that Liam Hemsworth is gorgeous? Because this movie, I noticed how hot he was, and I didn't notice that before. I was just like, oh, hey. And then when she kissed the other guy on the beach, I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, yeah. So I just thought I'd mention he's kind of hot.
Yeah. Liam Hemsworth. Miley Cyrus, you're missing out on that one. That's all I can say.
Right? I didn't realize they dated until I saw they were in that movie.
They were engaged.
Didn't he dump her when she did the whole thing on MTV?
They kind of, I don't think he dumped her. I think he dumped her way before that. They were just trying to not go public with it right away. But yeah, like they, Miley Cyrus. You fucked up.
She's stupid. Yeah.
Like, that's all I can say. You screwed that one all the way up because, I mean, you could be having this super rich millionaire movie star who's in one of the biggest movie franchises, you know, next to Twilight and Harry Potter. And, yeah.
Gorgeous.
I mean, she messed that up. She's so
messed
that up.
I remember him from, he was in a TV show, Something's Daughter, like McLeod's Daughter or something like that. And I remember, like, seeing him in that movie and then, or that show, and then I started watching this one called Neighbors with Lacey, and he was in that movie.
We're running out of time. We're totally out of time. Lips on the Air, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This has been a great show. Jeannie, thank you for calling in. I love you guys. This lips
kissing
off. Mwah. Good night,
Bye.
Everybody.
Bye.